A little over a week ago, Thomas Chumley sat in a wood-paneled courtroom surrounded by curious onlookers, his family, and a host of photographers eager to snap his picture. He listened as his lawyer, Fred Ogiambo, appealed a court ruling that he disclose his defense witnesses, and he sat silently as the judge ordered the case adjourned for nearly 2 months, until September 21st, while Ogiambo's appeal is considered. And then, silently, he stood up and was escorted away, never saying a word, his expression never changing. As he walked, cameramen got all the pictures they wanted, and everyone in the packed courtroom stared. Chumley's silence and the furor that surrounds him have come to define his case ever since he allegedly shot and killed a poacher on his family's 22,000-hectare ranch north of Nairobi in May 2006. In the months since, observers and lawyers on both sides say the case has come to be about much more than a single murder. It has been hijacked by politics and exposes some of the festering wounds in Kenyan society. Resentment toward wealthy landowners from poor locals who surround them, fears that whites get special treatment, or fears that Chumley is being made an example of to prove exactly the opposite. Outside the courtroom after the latest hearing, Ogiambo said he feared exposing Chumley's witnesses could put them at risk. He argued that the case had long ago stopped being about what Chumley did or didn't do that evening on his family's ranch.
What seemed to be the well-known constitutional right of an accused person could very well be trampled upon and would expose the accused and the witnesses of the accused to undue pressure from police. The evidence by the defense witnesses could be very important, and if the police know who they are, there's no reason why they can't lean on them.
Chumley's case touches a raw nerve, partly because of his background. He is the great-grandson of the third Lord Delamere, who was a central figure in the sex and booze-soaked expatriate community dubbed Happy Valley that sprouted up in the Kenyan highlands between the two world wars. It is also the second time he is accused of killing a black man on his family's ranch. Kenyans were furious when charges were dropped against Chumley in May 2005 after prosecutors determined they didn't have enough evidence against him in the shooting death of an undercover wildlife officer. The dismissal of those charges brought people into the streets in anger. In recent weeks, the lawyer for the slain officer, Katwa Kigen, has sought to have the charges reinstated. He claims that the public prosecutor who made the decision was acting in Chumley's interests.
It is our view that he was quite mistaken in the actions he took, and that mistake was motivated by circumstances that are not legitimate. If he had applied his mind objectively and fairly, he would clearly have seen that there was absolutely no basis for him to have sought to terminate the judges. And that is the basis upon which we are maintaining the argument in court that the judges should not have been dropped at all.
Chumley's case is particularly potent this year. Kenya is gearing up for presidential elections in December. In the intricate world of Kenyan politics, where everything seems interconnected, an acquittal could draw Kenyans' ire towards President Mwai Kibaki, who is seeking a second term. The same judge that oversaw the previous case against Chumley is again on the bench, and he too may want to send a message. Chumley, who has denied committing murder, could face the death penalty if he is found guilty. Ojwang Agina is a legal analyst with years of experience in Kenyan courtrooms.
It is a test case for our criminal justice system in that if it is found to have been poorly investigated and he's acquitted, the public will still take it with a pinch of salt. If he's acquitted, the general impression will be that whites get preferential treatment in the Kenyan judiciary.
That is exactly the attitude that Chumley's lawyer, Ogiambo, bridles against. He has barred Chumley's family from speaking to the media. He argues that no one, including the police, is looking at the facts, examining the possibility, as he contends, that a friend who was walking with Chumley that evening fired the fatal shot. And he argues that Kenyan politicians have purposefully inflamed tensions surrounding Chumley. Last year, Kenya's assistant information minister vowed to take the law into his own hands if Chumley is released.
It's quite possible that the publicity that this case has attracted could turn out to be to his disadvantage, because much of what is being recorded and much of what is being said is mainly against him. Nobody has tried to be very fair and very balanced about reporting what actually goes on in court.
In the end, legal bureaucracy may diffuse the worst of the political wrangling. Defense arguments have yet to begin, and it's now possible that Chumley's trial will not be finished by the time the presidential election takes place. Nick Wadhams for VOA News, Nairobi.